Shall we read a passage from book of Song of Solomon, chapter 1? Reading verses from 9 to 17. I have compared thee, O my love, to a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariots. Thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewels, thy neck with the chains of gold. We will make thee borders of gold with the studs of silver. While the king sitteth at his table, my spike rod sendeth forth the spell thereof. A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. He shall lie all night betwixt my breasts. My beloved is unto me as a cluster of camphor in the vineyards of Engedi. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair, thou hast those eyes. Behold, thou art fair, my beloved, yea, pleasant also our bed is green. The beams of our house are cedar and our rafters of fir. So in these verses we see the communication between the love and the beloved, the church and our Lord, and the bride and the bridegroom. So we, as the love of our Lord and the church of our King, and also the bride of the bride, coming bridegroom. And the conversation between both of them in these verses we find. And in verse 9, 10, 11, the beloved is speaking about her, his love, or about his spouse. In verse 12, and up to 14, the beloved is speaking about, the love is speaking about her beloved, or the spouse is talking about her, bride is speaking about her bridegroom. Then the following verses, that is one after the other, is one talking and the other one is responding. So a beautiful picture of the church, the glorified believers, and how they are going to be with the Lord in future, but their state is also made known here while they are here. So it is how the Lord looks at them. And in them, those who are truly born again, separated their lives unto the Lord, and kept out of the things of the filthiness of the world. And they are not friends with the world, but they are truly dedicated, separated, loves the Lord, filled with all the love and the affection towards the bridegroom, who is the coming one. And their lives are truly set apart. And they sing, and also the Lord truly looks at them in that manner. It is a beautiful picture of spiritually, and how the Lord describes, and how he, Lord anticipates his love to be found at the end. And those who are all truly love the Lord and dedicate, and also put the old man on the cross and live a resurrected divine life, and learning the principles of God, how he will be pleased. And their conversation, when their hearts and affections and the emotions are filled towards the coming King, they also sing this thing. So you see a few verses, whatever is possible today. And in verse 9, I have compared thee, O my love, to a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariots. So the Egypt is known for its fine breed of horses and very good breed of horses are found. Even now in Middle East, they have the finest horses in the world. And so he compares, the beloved is comparing his love to a horses connected to the chariots of the Pharaoh. So when horses truly speak of the power, the strength and the power, and we see in different places in the scripture, and when a man really wanted to fight the battle, that is, he is looking for a number of horses, chariots, that is his strength. But here, the beloved is comparing his love about the horses of the chariots. So it is not only the strength. So it is also when a horse is to be brought under the yoke to pull the chariot. And without that one, it is not going to be useful. So that means the horse's neck is broken and he is tamed to carry the chariot of the king. And when unsanctified life, when my own will is continue to be pursued in my life and I'm not willing to come under the subjection of the master's yoke, then I'm not truly useful and he will not see any beauty in my life. But my life is broken and my heart is contrite and I'm willing to carry the yoke of my master. And I want to be useful for his service so that I can, whatever he gives me in my hand, I will truly, without any resistance, and do the service to him. And I will fight the battles for him. I will be ready with him to do what he wants me to do. So my strength is not to manifest what I can do. But my strength is brought under the subjection of my master, and wherever, whatever the way he wanted me to be useful for his service, to bring the glory and honor, truly my master may rejoice in my life. And also the horses are plural. So in the church, it is not one person. It is more than two or three. And when we gather, when we are truly born again and come to the presence of the Lord, experiencing Him, in the beginning, our individual things and self-righteous acts are trying to come up because of unsanctified life. But the horses of the chariots are the just spirits which are made perfect. If it is not made perfect, then one pulling with a strength and one pulling with a weakness. And then the chariot will not go. The way the one who is riding the horses will not be able to really enjoy the ride. So the horses which are connected to all the chariots, 3, 4, 5, or whatever the number is connected to that chariot, and they all learn to function in one tune. They sing with one voice. They function just everyone individually. Learn to see what it means to be in uniformity, to conform to the will of the master. How difficult it is. Individually, people claim that I just follow the Lord. I worship the Lord. I pray to the Lord. I find the will of God. But when the person, next person was attached to them, then the truly what it means, an undisciplined, unsanctified life is truly trying to show forth. But these horses which are connected to the chariot, they are all function to learn. They are all learn to function that what uniformity of the under the leading of the spirit. One do not do fast, one do not go slow. They all come with a very wonderfully, they move step by step with the same kind of a pace. See, the life which is sanctified, when my really I brought under the discipline of the Lord, and he not only teaches me how I should bear his yoke, and also he teaches me how I should go with my fellow brothers and sisters. So when we have difficulty in the families to go in uniform, in union with wife and husband and the children, then how are we going to do with the other families and all together to function as one love or bride to the bridegroom? But what the Lord expects, that we are all really truly broken. Knowing the Lord means it is not just forgiveness of sins or receiving the eternal life. It is a really looking unto him as he is a master. It is not my will that your will be done. It is not my will, but I esteem my brother more than me. He is far better than me. Then we all pull together. The chariot of our master and the coming king, the bridegroom, to the pleasing of his nature, and his heart will be satisfied truly. Then whenever there is a undisciplined, unsanctified life in us working, where I is still functioning because of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, my eyes are opened, I could see that what I am, I needed to be made blind. I needed to be seen only my Lord. Then my whatever the Lord bestows on me, the gifts or whatever the naturally he give me, other resources to be used for his glory, everything will be properly sanctified, used for the glory of the Lord. And also I learn to function, to be how it needs to maintain that harmony in my walk with my brothers and sisters, because he loved me and they also are the children of my Father, Heavenly Father, and I learn to love my brothers and sisters. Then the beauty of the horse is not in its color or its height or length. When they all function together in uniformity, then the much strength is derived. So individually, when I am not coming and willing to carry the yoke of my Lord, I don't know what is that humility, what is that lowliness, and how I need to be under the subjection of my Master. When I grumble, I complain, then all those things what the Lord expected of me to function with him and with others is all gone haywire. Verse 10. Thy cheeks are comely with the rose of jewels, thy neck with the chains of gold. So in the Middle East, the women are decked with ornaments. So there are 2-3 rows of pearls which are connecting to the forehead or circling the head and show forth on the forehead, and the end of that chain is also hanging through her cheeks. So mostly it is the pearls. Then her neck is also filled with chains of gold. So that is also, so she is putting her decorating. And so there is the circling, the pearls around her neck and also hanging through her cheeks and putting the ornaments around her neck. They are not natural. So naturally they don't belong to her. So when she does not wear any ornaments, whatever is she, that is what is her beauty. But when a person truly touched by the Lord, submitted his or her life unto the Lord, and willing to be under the subjection of the Lord, then he also produces the spiritual beauties in that person. And it will be very glorious. It is not man-made pearl beads. And it is where those beads or whatever is written on the forehead of that person, the name of the Lord, that is the beauty. And also the chains upon her leg, the divine nature. And whatever the spiritual gifts, what we read in book of Galatians chapter 5, the kindness, goodness, long-suffering, peace, joy, and those are all manifested in through their life. That is going to be the beauty of that person. And the church is filled with those kind of people, those who are bearing the fruits of those spiritual characters and decked with those ornaments which are actually spiritual in nature. And when we allow the Lord to work freely in us without any reservation, and voluntarily inviting him to take our life into his hands and guide us through the every turn of our life, and trusting him fully to generate those kind of beauties, then that will be really decked and upon her head and cheeks and also on the neck. Also these ornaments is in Hebrew word is called tor. that is coming from their word called Torah. Torah is God's word. So the one that what is he, what are they speaking? They are saying that the word of God which has touched my life, and that word is the words which I speak unto your spirit and life. And the spirit has worked me and brought me into the newness of life experience. And that life experience has changed my whole life into the newness of life, which is producing these ornaments of gold and the chains of which are hanging on my cheeks. My face is covered. My neck is covered with the beauty of that glorious work of the word of God. The Lord said, lo, I have come, and as it is written in the book that it is my pleasure is to do thy will, O Lord. So when the Lord said, David said, and many other saints throughout generations have proclaimed, and they have truly adorned these beauties which are produced by the deeper working of the word of God in their life. That is why Paul to the Ephesians in Acts chapter 20 verse 32, he said, I commit you into the word of God, which will get you to the inheritance of the glorified saints. In Colossians 4, he said, let the word of God dwell in you richly, because the words which he spoke unto us are full of life and spirit. Spirit and life. So when the spirit works, the life is a resurrected life, and the transformation from old to the new, it happens. And God wants to beautify us with those spiritual beauties on our life. And you imagine, when we examine our life, when those beauties are not seen on our cheeks, on our neck, on our words, then how Lord will be disappointed to look at us? How are we going to be satisfy him? Or he, how will he find pleasure in us? Because we both are, he looks at me that he is operating in a different platform. So I don't find anything which is required to be found in heaven. Verse 11. We will make thee borders of gold with the studs of silver. So the Lord is saying, now I have seen this one. Your beauty, your sanctified life, your subjection life, your service, and the spiritual glories which you have adorned by the allowing the Spirit's work in your life. What I will make you now? I will make you chains of gold with the studs of silver. Silver speaks of redemption. In book of Exodus, chapter 30, that every male child who is about 20 years old should bring off a shekel of silver to the priest. That is called a ransomed money or a propitiated money. So if it is only gold, if it is only silver and gold, we understand gold speaks of the divine nature. He didn't say that is a silver and gold. He said, we will make the chains of gold with the studs of silver. Studs, I wanted to know if you have any other translation for the studs. Do you have or you don't have anything?
Beads, uncle.
Beads, sir.
Beads.
It says, verse 11, hum tere liye chandi ke phool daas sone ke aabhushan banayenge.
Kitna acha hai. In Telugu also the same thing. So it is not something a stud. Stud can be something round or closed. The flower is opened up. In Telugu also it is same thing. It is flower. Flowers of silver. So it is saying that if it is the silver is the redemption, that my work which you can see in, I can see, the Lord is saying to the bride that I can see in you that the redemptive work is complete. It is now flowered. It is not only just silver, it is now started leafing, blossoming, and it is now flowered. It is matured. Whatever the redemptive process needed to be completed, that is completed. And the gold speaks of the divine nature. It is not that I left the world and I completed the old one, but I also put on the new one. The new one is also complete. That is the divine nature. The world completely gone, completely come unto the last stage of that maturity, what it is required, that is speaks of the stud. So he redeemed us in the beginning, but my old nature still remained, and that sanctification continued. And when the Lord sees me, he wanted to say, the work which I began is now completed. It is flowered. I put you the chains of gold with the studs of silver, or with the flowers of silver. How beautiful you look. Now whatever is supposed to be done in your life, you have allowed that complete work in your life. See now what the Lord wanted. So when the Lord wanted that our lives are redeemed from the power of the enemy and translated into the kingdom of his dear son, that work needed to be complete in its full form. It is not that just we were saved and received the forgiveness of sins and also received the gift of eternal life. The old man is still ready, is there, is not flowered. It needed to be died on the cross completely. Then subsequently, whatever the newness of life should flourish in us, and taking part, participating in the divine nature, fully sanctified, that needed to be completed. So we are one step forward and two steps backward in the life. One day we are good with the Lord, and 2 days we are with the world. So that is not a completed work. And Lord will not put the flowers of the chains of gold with the studs of flowers of silver. And the thoughts towards us, the Lord has very high and lofty. And the scripture and the reading, the word of God, or our continual regular life with him in communion, please do not make it light of it. When the heavenly master, our bridegroom, and desires such kind of a beauty in us, and what is that which is stopping us not to be conscious of his desire and filled our hearts with so many other things which are not useful for us and for him? Verse 12. While the king sitteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof. So now she is speaking. The love is talking about her beloved, and now they both are at the table, and it is the communion and the intercourse, and is talking to each other, and they are eating together. They are taking part from the same thing at the table. And when she came to the table, she is saying, the smell of my spikenard is smell thereof, is sending forth thereof. So just last week we have seen the worship of Mary in John's Gospel chapter 12. So she also broke the bottle of the spikenard, the very precious ointment which she kept. And she spoke of two things. One, she recognized him, he is the Lord of resurrection. And when he said that I am the resurrection and the life, so that means God has given him the power to judge and to bring out whom he does want, and accordingly he could do. But the one who has not defeated the power of the death, he cannot bring people, or he will not have authority over the place called Hades or the death. So Mary recognized him, the one who has got the power and authority over the places of the death. And accordingly he rose again. And he also called her brother out. And when she recognized in her life that he is the one who has got the power of the power over everything, and in not only in heaven, on the earth, and also death and the Hades, he holds the keys. When everybody was not understanding what is his power, what is he saying, but she recognized. And she poured out her heart by breaking it. And that spikenard smell filled the house. So she was saying, now the love is saying, my life, whatever I considered was very precious, was broken. And gave the place for the smell and the fragrance of that divine resurrected life to come forth. So not only you are recognizing, that is what she is saying, now you are going to put me, decorate me with the chains of gold, with the studs of silver. That is because this is what I have shown forth in entirety of my life. The fragrance which is coming out of me was the spikenard. The spikenard which is fills the house, everywhere, wherever I go. The Paul said, we take the life, the savor of the Lord, wherever we go. And we become a life unto life and death unto the life, wherever we are. We take that life victoriously. And we make in a procession. We die and you live. And that is what Mary, in her saying the resurrection, that in you that we live. But it is not this life worth living without the experience of that life and the resurrection. But as I come to you, and as I communicate with you on the same table, and the bride is saying, if I have had anything which is unbroken, how can I sit with you? I cannot sit. Because there is no compatibility then. Only one life. Who has got indissoluble life. Who can be everywhere. And who victoriously rose again. And the same life is also in operation. That life sends forth the fragrance. Verse 13. A bundle of myrrh is my beloved unto me. He shall lie all night between my breasts. So this, she is telling that my beloved is like a bag of bundle which lies between my breasts. So breast speaks of our all love and affection. So that means she is saying, my heart is filled with all the love and affection towards my master. I have no other love and affection other than him. That is there continuously between my breasts. My heart is filled with him. So Paul was praying in Ephesians chapter 3 verse 17. By faith Christ may dwell in you, in your hearts. So she is saying, and I have kept you between in my heart in a such a manner. And what was that which she kept? And compares that keeping him between her breasts is, it is a bundle of myrrh. Myrrh is a fragrance or an essential oil, which is when in the Middle East, when a tree which was of myrrh tree, when it is, her bark is wounded or cut, and it, the sap is oozing out from the bark. That is her life. And that was collected as the myrrh fragrance. So because of that bark was wounded, then the life was coming out of the tree as a sap, which was collected, and that was sold as a fragrance. And if anybody wants to smell it, you ask him and he will give you. And that is the life, that means my life, whatever was there, that was cut off. And that was produced, that was carefully kept and produced to manifest the fragrance of your life. It is by allowing the cross, carrying the cross. And that is what I did. And when the Lord asks her, suppose, she will say that you loved me, now I love my brethren. As the Lord has loved us and gave himself for us. And she would say, or every brother who had that kind of a maturity, then we are to lay down our lives to the brethren. 1 John 3:16. So it is not that you gave your life to me, but now in my life, if you are living in my heart, then I am presenting my life towards the manifestation of the same kind of life towards my brethren. See, then when God loved and he gave himself, that is John 3:16. 1 John 3:16, then we are to lay down our lives to our brethren. That becomes the bundle or the bag of mud because of the love and the affection of my Lord, that I am able to show forth the same kind of love towards my brothers and sisters. Then a self-filled life is lived as a Christian, that is so much foreign to the life of the Lord. And that life cannot be entitled to sit on the same table. It is a life which loves regardless of anything, and hugs, cleaves, receives, blesses. And that becomes the bundle of mud. Then when you see then so many failures, weaknesses, pitfalls, their waywardness, their ignorance, then bear all those infirmities of the brothers and sisters and lovingly present and continue to bear and esteeming them good and pray with such kind of a burden for their maturity, will become a smell of a bundle of mud. It's not something which is pleasant. I die, the death working in me, but the life in you, Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. When we see what is the beauty which death can really bring out, and that is really wonderful. Because I don't want to be crucified. I fear death. I fear pain. I don't want to be myself to be touched by anybody. I want to be as ignorant, as arrogant, as rebellious as before, though I claim to be knowing that the Lord is my shepherd. Then how will the bag of bundle of mud will be between my breasts? My love and affection is filled with myself. I have no love to my Lord. Though I say outwardly I love my Lord, but that love is not manifested or perfected because I never loved my brothers and sisters. Verse 14. My beloved is unto me as a cluster of camphor in the vineyards of Engedi. So this is also in the margin written as a henna flowers. So that is the woman in the Middle East used this one to manifest in their fingers, hat, and the hair with the red color. Because when you apply henna, that is what it will turn to red. So it is speaking, the Lord, when you see at me, that the one I am redeemed, I am set apart for you. And that is the one which is the smell coming up, that I have nothing to do with the world. Then verse 15. Then the beloved is saying to her love, his love, behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes. The Lord, the way he looks at her is very beautiful. He says, thou hast the eyes of the doves. In the Old Testament, there are many animals like the bulls, goats, the lamb. These are all taken and allowed to be offered as a sacrifice. But in the birds, it is only one bird which can be offered as a sacrifice. That is dove. Other birds, no other birds. Because the dove speaks of its purity, its love. And also, it is in the symbol of tranquility. peace. And when the Lord was baptized, the Holy Spirit descended like a dove. So Holy Spirit, it speaks of the Holy Spirit also. So when he descends, then the bird, the dove, does not land haphazardly in any place. If it is a dirty place, he doesn't land. He looks for a purity. He looks for a peace. And in the heart, when that kind of a purity and the tranquility is maintained, the Spirit dwells in us. And besides that, one more character of that dove is, it has got a singleness of eye. That means it can only focus one thing in his life. So that one, so what the Lord was saying, that you have the eyes, dove's eyes, that in your entirety, in your life, you have focused only one thing. So as Paul said, this one thing I do, that what for I have been called, that I may apprehend. Though I have not yet apprehended, but I am running, leaving the things behind and also moving forward to apprehend for what I have been apprehended. So that was the focus speaks of the dove. Other birds can see two things at one time, but the dove can only see one. And another thing for the dove is this. But by any chance, if he does not get connected with her mate, remain single and looks and waits patiently to find her mate. She will not jump onto something else.
Brother.
Yes.
In Leviticus chapter 1 verse 15, or you can say 14, it shows turtle doves and or of young pigeons. So yeah, pigeon
of the same family.
Is also a bird. So are they of the same family, you think?
Yeah, same family.
Thank you.
Very minor difference between both. And that one, so they will patiently and with all solemnity, they wait for the mate. So that one, he's saying, in your entire life, once you have that betrothal was done, with me, in a spiritual sense, you have really waited and longed for my appearance and maintained the life of the peace and the tranquility so that I can come and dwell in you. And your focus remained same. And when the beloved could see in the eyes of the bride, he was saying that. So we need to examine our lives and how wavery we are, how focus is drifting, how we are looking for different things in the world rather than the just coming of our bridegroom, who will come all in his glory, and we will be gone and to be found with him. And we will commune with him in spirit now, and that time it is in a direct manner. And if that is not longing in our hearts, and our focus is drifting, then we need to examine our lives. Then how can the Lord say that you have the dove's eyes? Verse 16. Behold, thou art fair, my beloved, yea, pleasant, also our bed is green. Now she is talking. He spoke in 15 and she is responding in 16. Our bed is green. Now the life is coming to an end. They are going to be as a queen and the king, bride and the bridegroom, and their union. Now she is going to talk from table to the bed, and she is saying, our bed is also green. And green, and in when we are living here, and there is a, because of the fallen nature and the sin committed by the Adam and Eve, and their death came in. So the green speaks of life. And now she is saying that there is no place for the death. We overcame. The gates of the Hades, of where the ruler called death is operating from that place, has no power in my life. we overcame the death. And that is how it is saying. They loved not their lives till death. That means death could not lay hands on him. They overcame that. Whenever I am fear of death, that means I did not overcome. But when I am not having any fear, I know that my life is secured in my Lord, and my life is full of greenery, life filled, either here or there. So I don't fear because my life is secure in him. And when I have that kind of a life experience in that manner lived, then I would say that now my life is in continuity. He is the one who is, his name is, who has indissoluble life. That means the life is not dissolved. It is not broken. It is continuous. That is the nature of our Lord. But in the same life, he has made me the partaker. Then I will tell him, I did not love my life till death. So it is a greenery full of green, full of life. It is the same like you. And I have experienced that life. That is the manifestation in my life. Then the beams of our house are cedar and our rafters are fir. So now inside the house, she described, it is full of green. And now she is talking about the house built with and also galleries, the rafters. The house is made with a cedar. And cedar and fir both speak of evergreen trees. That means there is no, in the winter, all the other trees what we see around here are no leaves. But in the spring they try to come up, and in summer they are full. But in the fall again they leave the leaves will fall, and then in the winter it is totally, completely no leaves at all. We don't see any life, but though it is hidden. So, but in the cedar and the fir, you always see it is green, no death. So any kind of a winter or kind of a tribulation or the problems, that she is saying that I who overcame. That is how a house is built. And also they look upwards, the heavenwards, and speaks of the royalty. He has made us kings. So full of greenery and not fallen any time, and look upright towards the heavens. And that is the nature which my house was built. The Lord is merciful. So far, though these are all needed to be brought in many of us, all of us especially, actually, and we have neglected so much. We never filled with the emotions and the affections of our Lord in our heart. That is why the Spirit was not eager to communicate with us what it needed to be in everyday life, how it need to be transformed, so that my Lord may find pleasure, satisfaction in my life and in your life. Let us give the time to the Spirit to examine our lives. Whatever we are weighing too much in our hearts connected to the world, and the way we ought to give such kind of a value to the Lord, to fill our hearts, to transform our lives, to allow that wonderful dissoluble life to come, indissoluble life to come and operate in us. Let us invite him. Then slowly, one after the other, he will beautify us. Then according to our longing of our heart, we will talk about him. The Father will be happy. Our bridegroom will be really find pleasure in us.